Hallelujah. You know, I think about that scripture. You know, we're going to continue today when it says we've, in Romans 8, let me turn over there a minute, when it talks about we cry, Abba, Father, and that he's not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. That means we're adopted, we're welcomed. And I believe where the spirit of the Lord is, there's a spirit of adoption. There's a spirit of welcomeness, and I believe that as the spirit of God moves, that those that come in will feel welcomed. Welcomed. Not only by us, but by the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll sense his presence. Hallelujah. Just one announcement. This is in regards to the youth meeting coming up, Acquire the Fire. This is April 11th and 12th. This is a Friday and a Saturday. The theme for this year's conference is Epic Truth, Stronger Than Fiction. And the cost of this two-day event is $125. There's a $50 non-refundable but transferable deposit is due by next Sunday, March 9th, okay? The final payment is due March 30th. Payments can be made online or in the Faith Food Bookstore after service. It does have a note here. We are looking for male and female chaperones, and it does have this in caps here with high energy level and a good driving record. So you need to have a high energy level to participate. Amen. Background checks will be conducted for all chaperone applicants, and you can stop by the children and youth ministry table in the lobby for additional information. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you're even thinking about going, you need to go. It has a marked impact on the lives of the youth that go. And just stop out there and they'll fill in the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I like it when the Holy Spirit directs and you stay out of the way. I really don't talk to Pastor Jesse and the J team over here and ask them or input or insert anything in. I really like to have the Holy Spirit lead in the music area and let them follow him, because the music then will kind of, usually, I'll say it that way. And I say I haven't been disappointed. But the way the Lord was using Pastor Jesse this morning is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to say today. Been talking about living a spirit-led life and keys to sensitivity, keys to being sensitive to his leadings. But today, I wanted to share about being yielded and open. Being yielded to him and open. that's being yes. That's saying yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with part of my heart, no, my whole heart, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. See? And the Holy Ghost has a way of affirming what he wants to say. And we can shout it or whatever, but I just feel the Spirit of God has already moved upon our hearts in the worship to do what? Prepare your heart to listen. To listen to what he's saying. See, I'll say this. When you're yielded, and I'm going to jump in here and pray in a moment, but being led by the Spirit of God is not hard or difficult. It comes in steps. We take steps.
I think about as a young man obeying and hearing his voice. When I say hearing his voice, I'm going to back up. Being led by the inward witness, he can lead us in a still small voice. But the primary way, an inward witness, is a knowing. It's knowing something. And when you know, let me ask a question. Did you hear a voice? You just knew. A thought came. Go over here and do this. Or revelation, a knowing in God's word, was an inward witness, a revealing of something to you. And so often when we say, well, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, so often, a lot of times, you need to ask and qualify, did he speak or was it an inward knowing? Because a lot of times people are chasing around waiting to hear a voice or an inward, still small voice, and all the while they're suppressing and quenching the thoughts. And people say, well, yeah, there were these thoughts to do this. Hello? Who's in you? He bears witness with your spirit. It's a co-witness. See? What do I mean by that? Your heart starts to lead you over here, and there's another witness. Yep, that's the way to go. It's a co-witness. Or you start going this way, and there's like, this doesn't feel right. That's a witness. See? And what I'm talking about is becoming more sensitive to the inward witness. We ought not to always have to have a demonstrative witness, like I've got this big check. Let me ask the question. Can we be sensitive to something that's very, very still? Yes, we can. But that's going to take some development. And the development is first by obeying the first little things that we get, the first little nudges we get, the first knowing to do something. Well, I'm not going to do that because I don't like that. That's not my thing. That's not my, that I don't like it over there. You just have dulled your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. You've dulled that. Because you're not going to follow the knowing. So you're not yielded and you're not open because you have some thoughts about something. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not. Lean not. See, he puts something in your heart to do and you go, I'm doing it. Nope. Let me ask this question. How many are married? How many are married? How many have said, I ain't doing that? How many have said, we're not talking about that? How many husbands or wives have said, we're not talking about that? Nope, that's off limits. We're not talking about it. And sometimes it takes time in a relationship for folks to even be open to talk about it. Is that true? Are we being real here? See, and sometimes we as Christians, when God wants to say, I want you to do this, we go, nope. Mm-mm. You know how little kids go, no. And God is patient. And he will wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And your heart has to be nurtured to the place that you'll even listen to him to obey. Is that not true? Every one of us have walked through and said, no, God, I ain't doing that. No. No. See? I will trust him and obey. When he speaks, I will say yes. I'll be yielded and open to do what? Obey. See? So when we want to be led by the Spirit of God, and I'm talking every one of us, me too. See, some things you'll find, how many have reached a place of maturity, but some things that you didn't want to discuss or some things you weren't open to admit, you've gotten to a place where you're at least willing to listen. You're willing to say, okay, Lord, yes, Lord, I'll obey. I'll listen. Every single one of us have resisted in some area of our life where we don't want to yield to God, whatever that is. Some of us, it's having that second plate of food. I'm going to have me that extra plate of pork chops and ribs, and, you know, I like it too. You know, some of us, that's where we live. And I, no way, I ain't giving that up, because that's just the way we eat. There was somebody on staff that said the hardest thing for them, West Indian, they said the hardest thing, the absolute hardest thing for them to do was to give up rice. Because everything's with rice, rice and beans, rice and peas, everything's with rice. They had to give up rice, and man, that was hard. But guess what? I'd rather be hard and give it up and alive than sick and diseased. He knows something about me that I don't know. See, and that's where we live. And if we don't obey those things, then we become dull in our hearing to his leading. This is where we live. And we have to say yes to the little things, not just the big things that we want to do or we're willing to do, but the little things that we don't want to do and that we need to be open. Isn't that right? And yielded. Hallelujah. Or we could say yielded and open. Father, we thank you for saying yes to the things, even the things we don't want to do, things that are uncomfortable. We thank you. We bless you today, Lord Jesus. And Father, we look to you for direction. Holy Spirit, we look for direction today. Thank you for the people that are assembled. Thank you, and I decree that their hearts are open and will say yes to your will and your way. And we look to you today for divine deposits and revelation in your word that will help us to grow and mature in this Christian walk. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our lesson and let's read John 3:16. 17 and 18. Let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And just as a side note, just for the guys up top, you may want to just start prior to my prayer. There may be some thoughts people want to hear. And they know what to do. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to pick up here. And let's read this particular scripture that we've been reading, Romans 8, 14, 15, and 16. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that could be male sons and female sons. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit
of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, or in the modern translations, and the correct translation is Himself, beareth witness with, see, I like that, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And some of the more, I like some of these particular translations in Romans 8:14. It says, if the Spirit of God is leading you, that's the voice. The New Century Version says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. So we have to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And so we're looking at what the Scripture says, and we're also looking at what are some of the ways that we can be more sensitive to His leading. And one way is to say yes. One is to yield to His Spirit. I'm going to just cover some scriptures. You can just follow along because these are on past tapes. And Romans, we read over Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me read this in the Weymouth translation. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness along with our own spirit. I like that. Along with. So it's not just the Holy Spirit bearing witness, but it's along with our spirit. The Knox translation says, the Spirit Himself thus assures our spirit. Isn't that nice to have an assurance? Some folks, it's all too common. Folks will say, what should I do about this? What should I do? How should I do this? This says here, the Holy Spirit will assure your spirit. And that means we can be assured not only that we are a child of God, but He'll assure you in every area of your life. He will give you an assurance, a knowing. See, this is why it's important when folks say, should I do this? Should I go on this vacation? Should I leave now? He may say, wait 10 minutes. Wait 15 minutes. Yeah, but we got to go. We got to be there by such and such a time. We've got to go now. And sometimes we're led because we got a time schedule to keep. Could mean whether you live or die. Could. And sometimes we need to be sensitive if we're having an uneasiness. And sometimes that's all you get. An uneasiness that we need to leave right now, or we need to stop right now. Or should I invest in this? Should I take this job? Sometimes, see, think about this. What do we say? The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything, about every situation that we couldn't possibly know about, and everything about you, and everything that you will ever know or do. He knows that. So when He directs us, it's for our good. And so sometimes, I'm going to say it this way, we are head-led. We're led by our intellect, our logic. Sometimes we're led by our emotions. Sometimes we're led by money. You think about it. People will make choices based on this is it. And they're led by their emotions, and they never check in and check what's going on the inside. Am I getting anything? Am I getting any leading as to what I should do or not do? People will leave an area, leave a church. And I'm not talking about those that leave, but I'm saying some leave churches.
strictly in an area where they are supported and move to another whole part of the country because they got a raise on their job. And never ask God whether I should do that or not. Man, I got this big raise. I got a $50,000 raise. And what? Did you ask God whether you should do that or not? Not saying moving for a raise is a wrong thing, but it better be okayed with the master. Sometimes we do things based on circumstances. We've got to do this. The doctor says, I have to have this operation. Okay, did you ask the Lord? Did you ask him? Did you check with him? And ask him whether or not he's in it. See, and I say it that way because having an operation and not having an operation is not the key. The key is he knows everything about everything. And he will know if it'll go well with you if you do. And he'll know whether or not it'll go well with you if you don't. So some people get hung up whether or not, well, I ain't having this operation. I'm just going to stand on the word. And some of them are dead. Because they didn't check, they heard somebody else, and I'm just going to stand. And they did not have their faith developed to the place to stand. And they were in fear. So they ought have gone to the doctor. And keep working their faith and their confession through that process. You see, don't be moved by circumstances and don't be moved by what people tell you you should do and shouldn't do. See, some folks will say, well, you know, honey, you shouldn't do. Look, when the Lord tells you to do it, you better do it. It's the right way to go. Period. That's the way it is. I'm gonna say it. And you know, as they say, and let the chips fall where they be. Let the chips fall where they be. Don't be moved by what people think or say. Be moved by what he says and his direction in your life. That's what he, in other words, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that also, and Pastor has a mic, and I'm going to get to her in a moment. But the Holy Spirit had prompted in this in me a knowing. I hadn't thought about it this way before. So often, what is God? God is tripart, like us. God the Father, God the Son, and God
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So when the scripture says that he that cometh unto God, you could say he that cometh unto God, the Holy Spirit. See, you don't pray to the Holy Spirit, but you can seek. He's your helper. Holy Spirit, what should I do here? How should I handle this? He that cometh unto God, the Holy Spirit, must what?
Believe that he is.
And he is a rewarder. Rewarder of what? Knowing what to do. Amen. That do what? Diligently seek him. Some of us are diligently seeking advice from other people. And we ought not to. We ought to diligently seek the Holy Spirit and ask him, what should I do here? How shall I handle this? Should I? Shouldn't I? And if you don't get an answer, wait. See, a lot of times the devil will press you to make two wrong decisions. You got a choice. Got to do this or this. And he'll make you choose between two wrong things. It'll seem right when it's the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Pastor Ed, I'd just like to testify, and I believe this will help a lot of people this morning. because what you're saying is so accurate. You know, it's wonderful that we have this choice of being able to go to God or the Holy Spirit and ask what we should do. But some of us, knowing what we should do, and some of us even are believers, but there's another portion to that, and that is using our mouth to speak to something that we know about. For instance, I was in pain for a couple of days with my neck. I could hardly move my neck. Heating pads, neck collars, all kinds of things as a substitute. And this morning, the Spirit of the Lord reminded me that I had done all the natural things that I knew to do. And I even believed that I would be relieved of that pain by the Spirit of God. But I hadn't once spoken to the condition. And he said to me, reminded me that until I used my authority and speak to it, nothing was going to change. I'd still be wearing the collar, and I'd still be putting heating pads on it, and all of those kinds of things. And don't you know, I decided right then and there, I was in the bathroom, I decided right then and there to first of all repent for the fact that I had not used the authority that was given me by the blood of Jesus Christ. And secondly, that all I did was speak to the discomfort and tell it. It had to go. It had no right to cause me to be uncomfortable. It had no authority, dominion or authority over my body. I had it. And don't you know, in less than 5 minutes, every bit of the pain that I'd had for 2 days was gone. Now, I knew, I believed, but I hadn't used my mouth to speak the words that had been given me to speak to the condition. And we forget sometimes that the Holy Spirit will tell us that there's a portion that we have to do. Yeah, he'll tell us so much. But then there's a portion that if you fail to do it, you're going to have to, you learn to tolerate things. And that's the problem with too many of us now as Christians. We've learned to tolerate too much. And God doesn't want us to tolerate anything that he hasn't put on us. And he doesn't put anything for good and perfect gifts on us. But I want you to know, it couldn't have been 5 minutes after I spoke to that condition in my neck that the pain was completely gone. I said to Rose, can you believe? As I said to her at the time when it was revealed to me that I believed that I was healed, and I believed that I shouldn't have to have the pain, but I had not used my second part of that authority, and that was speak to the condition. And until I spoke to it, the devil was going to continue to torment me with it, because I was not exercising the authority that God, that Jesus had given me. And I want you to know that in less than 5 minutes, probably, after I spoke to it, I didn't need anything. I didn't need any painkillers. I didn't need any heating pads. I didn't need anything. But I spoke to it, and it was completely gone, and it's still gone, and I had tolerated it for more than 2 days. So, folks, examine yourselves and find out while you're listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you is the proper way to handle something, that you make sure you exercise the authority that he's given you in speaking to the condition also, because you can believe all you want to, but Mark 11:24 says, believe and speak, believe and say to the mountain. It's not good enough just to believe. So some of you are tolerating things that you don't understand why you're having to put up with whatever it is you're putting up with for days, because you know you believe, you know the word on it, but you are not walking in your authority by speaking to it. Thank you. So I believe that'll help some of you today.
Amen. I think there's something that was key. What is the Spirit of God referred to? He is the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you into all
truth. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, well, let me say it this way. What it was key when Pastor Sarah said the Holy Spirit reminded her of her responsibility. And sometimes we're going to the Holy Spirit, which is true. We're asking him. We should ask him. But there's some things in Scripture that have already been settled. You don't need to ask. You don't need to ask him, what should I do here? Where the assurance comes in is when he may say, yeah, you're speaking to it, but you need to go to the doctor. See, that's the piece. Some of us can override leadings and be standing on Scripture. I'm standing and I'm quoting Scripture. Nothing wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, you should do such and so. And we may override the leading by confessing Scripture. You understand my point? You know how I know? Me. And almost died. So that's what I'm telling you, that you can override a leading by quoting. Is there anything wrong with quoting? No. We should confess the Scriptures. We should speak, because that's part of being sensitive and developing your spirit. You should. And that's what we should do. But part of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, one way, let's just take a moment. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, I think it's a good scripture to look at. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, and 21. Look at this particular scripture. See, this is why it's important to be filled with the Spirit. See, look at verse 17. We're in Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We like that, right? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. See, and these are all followed by semicolons, aren't they? So it's continuing the thought here. It says what? But be ye filled with the Spirit. And what's the next word? Speaking. Say it, speaking. Speaking to who? Yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Stop. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is one way to keep your spirit man filled. Sensitive to his leading, being sensitive. So we're to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, comma, singing. Here's another way you can develop your spirit. Speaking, singing, and doing what? Making melody in your heart. In where? Your heart to the Lord, semicolon, giving thanks. So we have speaking, we have singing, we have giving thanks. That's why when you come in and you say, yeah, praise the Lord. No, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to speak. So when Pastor Jay says, shout and scream, yes, we're going to shout. We're going to scream. We're going to give thanks, because what does it do? It stirs up this inner man. So you can then become sensitive to what he says, what he reveals. See, you see that? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now look at this. Semicolon. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. How does that come about? Being filled. Being filled with the Spirit. See, when you can't submit to someone, you're not filled. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not filled with the Spirit. You see this? That means we're emotion-led or head-led or feelings-led. They ain't receive me and my gift, and you're not willing to do what? Submit to one another, submit to those in leadership. That means maybe you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, the love of God is there. And present and manifested. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to get here today. I mean, we've got a few more minutes. Let's go back here. I'm going to just go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. I just want to look at this particular scripture for a moment. 1 Corinthians 2, very familiar with this, and verse 9, talking about the inward witness. The inward witness. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man, see, you're going to hear this, for what man knoweth? See, if we want to talk about an inward witness and leading, it's a knowing. It's a knowing. But what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us. What are we going to do? Know them. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged or discerneth of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have it. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is nothing more than an organ that your mind operates through. How many people have read or known of people where their mind is not operating properly and they can't communicate properly, but inside they're intact? Their mind is functioning. They may just be garbling and whatever. They can't communicate properly. No, their mind operates through their brain. Hallelujah. Let's go over here for a moment. Let's go to look at a few examples of yielding and being obedient or open. I'm sorry. Let's go to Luke for a moment. Luke chapter 1. And just look at, I mean, portions of the story. Luke chapter 1. And starting in verse 5,
It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they both were righteous before God, walking, see this here? We're talking about somebody who's yielded to God. They were doing what? Walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. When you look at that particular scripture in the Good News Translation, it says they both lived good lives in God's sight, and they obeyed fully all the Lord's laws and commands. And verse 6 in God's word, it says, Zechariah and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. So one key is that you have to in being yielded, you've got to be a person that obeys all of the Lord's directions. See, if he prompts us to do something and we don't, we dull. We dull our sensitivity to God. So we want to be a person that obeys fully. And that's a growth process. We've all missed it in areas, but one thing I know about it is even when we have, we can just repent, we can go start right where we are and obey in the little things. Every one of us, I'm thinking about, you know, when I think about some of the choices that Pastor Jesse had to make, Jerrica and Jeremy and these, just like yourself, they didn't start with that decision. They didn't start with that type of decision. It had to be developed so that they would be yielded and say, okay, I don't understand it. I may not even like it, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay, I'll go. And it had to start many years prior when there was a knowing to do something small and you said, yes, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And then another, yes, okay, yes, I'll do this. Okay, yes, I'll do this. And then years go by where you say, yes, you may miss it, you may make mistakes, but you're developing in your yes. And you're being developed. And then you get what? Which is right here. This is what happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they had God's approval. They were approved of God to do something. You see. And we sometimes we wonder, why are they being used? I wonder why are they always being used, or how come? The how come is they said yes. They yielded to something that might have been unpleasant to the flesh, or the thinking, or the mind. But it was developed to the place where they didn't question. They knew it was God, they knew it was the Spirit of God, and they said yes, they yielded, so they can be used. Does that make sense? I mean, I know for me, I mean, I think about choices as a young person. I remember the first time when I was at camp meeting, it was in... I was led to go, it was 1980, 81, somewhere around that time frame. And Brother Hagin was on the stage. I was sitting way up. This was the Tulsa Arena down in downtown Tulsa, way up in the back, you know, where they call it the nosebleed section. You know, it was way, way, way up. I was just happy to be there. And I remember Thursday night, he said, all right, we're going to have this is Rhema Day, we're going to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is the first thing he said. He said, there's 40 people in this arena that'll give $1,000. And my spirit went, shh. And I went, no! I'm serious. That was about all I had in my savings account. And I said, no! But I sat there and squirmed and squirmed and squirmed. And it was so
demonstrative. It was like it just came right up. And I just finally said, okay, I'll do it. Not knowing. And I think about some of those choices where we don't know what they were believing for. I'm kind of thinking quickly here, thinking about a few years ago, we had some ministers visiting here that have gone out from this ministry. And, you know, it's fellowship time. They were here. I don't remember the occasion. I don't know if it was, you know, one of our 25th or 30th anniversary. It may have been. I don't recall. But it was an anniversary, and they were here visiting. And the Holy Spirit, unknowing, the thought came, give them X amount of money. I said, okay, I was in a position to do it. And it was a goodly amount. It wasn't $50. It had four, it was a good amount. And I said, okay, I knew it was the Spirit of God. I knew it. So I sat on it for a couple of days while they were there. And the last day they were there, I approached the wife and I said, you know, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. I said, do you have a need in your ministry? This was the answer. No, everything's great. Everything's fine. I said, well, I still like to plant some seed. I want to follow this out. I want to plant it. Okay, just write it out. Write it out to the ministry and so forth. And I said, okay, that was the last thing that was said. A couple of months later, I got a letter from them that said, you don't know what that did. Our ministry had been running in the red, and that made us get solvent and back in the black. And I said, ooh, ooh. You don't know what other people are believing for, what other ministries might be believing for. It doesn't have to be a ministry. It could be God, could be an individual. But when somebody's prompted, see, you want to give 100,000, but you won't give 1,000. So, you know, you won't even be open to hit. What? No. No, no way. No way I would even give 100,000. See, you're not open. And you're not yielded to that. But you got to be willing to give 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. 40,000, 50,000. Then you're open, you're yielded to give 100,000. But you want, yeah, if I get the money, I'll give 100. No, you won't. You know why you won't? Because you're not yielded to give 1,000. You've dulled yourself to that. Now, I'm sharing this so that we become sensitive to his prompts, his knowings. See, when he says give $5, and it doesn't have to be a large amount, it could be a small amount. When he says give that person $5, give it. You don't know what they're believing for. Amen. You don't know. So, you know, I think about choices that I've made and not made that, you know, can make a difference. And we position ourselves for God's approval to be used for bigger things. But we have to be sensitive in the little things. When we know, do it. Follow it out. Follow it out. And you don't have to just jump on everything right away. Wait on it. Pray about it. Wait on the Lord. Amen? Talking about being sensitive and yielded. So now, let me go back over here to Luke. So you can see here, if we continue on here, just getting down here about Zacharias and Mary, you can see both of them, the difference between Zacharias and also he was yielded, and also Mary was. You can see both of them were used. Yes, it was ordained, but they had gotten to the place where they were yielded to even be open to say yes. Isn't that true? You can see this here. Even where, Zechariah made a little mistake here, but he questioned, but he still was yielded. He still was yielded to God. And Mary here, you can see here, she professed at the end of all of this, after the angel appeared to her, she said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me. She was yielded. Yielded to the will of God. Amen. So, one of the things that we need to be conscious of is that when we get prompts, follow them. Follow the prompts. Let's turn over real quick to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we'll just look at another individual who was yielded. And look at verse 19, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. Back up to verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And then verse 19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." In other words, he wasn't going to have any of this. He was backing out. He was going to put her away privately and just dissolve the whole process, right? That's what the scripture says. But what happened? An angel of the Lord appeared and said, "It's all right. This child is of the Holy Ghost." In other words, she's conceived of the Holy Ghost. And so you can see here that God was working, and he had to be yielded at that point to even listen. So you can see here, and you can continue in chapter 2, and you look at verse 13, it says, and this is after the wise men departed. It says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So he was trying to protect Jesus, and he had to obey. He had to yield to those visitations and those words and obey. Same thing in our life. We've got to obey the prompts. And God is bringing us to a place, and I believe God is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And some of the things that the ministry is going to be doing and embarking upon, and things that God is going to prompt all of us to do and participate in, is going to require that we yield to his direction. We have to yield to the directions of the Lord, because he's wanting to do what? Reach people. And we're going to be the ones used. It's we're past the days of just coming to church and sitting and just hearing a good message and shouting, and, "Oh man, the band was great, wasn't it?" That ain't it. Yeah, the band was great. The teaching was great. But it's to get us to the place of being used by God to reach people. Because that's the important key. And so we're past that. So here you can see, and then of course,
in verse 19, he appears to Joseph in a dream again and says, you know, Herod is dead and you can go back to Israel. And so he did. And so he had to be yielded to the Lord to be used. Same thing with Abraham, and we don't need to get into that, but you know the story. In Genesis, you can see here, it says, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. And so for all of these other things to happen, which he said in verse 2, and I'll make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. So all for all of those things to be, he had to follow the conditions. He had to yield to that. And sometimes, I'll say it this way, sometimes we're asking the Lord to resolve some other issues in our life, and sometimes it's hooked to you obeying this, which has nothing to do with this. You got nothing to do with this, but he's asking you to do this, and you're not yielded. But if you did this, this would fall into place.
Amen.
I've been there. Everybody been there? Sometimes he's saying, I heard a story of a young man came to a minister to pray, and the minister said the Lord told him, no, don't pray for him. He said, because I've been telling this young man for years, get a job, be faithful. Go to church and be faithful. And he said, and until he does that, I'm not going to answer these other things. And sometimes we don't realize that one thing hinges on another. It's about being faithful and obedient to the things that God tells you to do. You see. So you can see here that Abraham, and then of course, after Abraham obeyed, and then further on in chapter 22, it says, and God did tempt, well, he don't tempt, he says he tested Abraham. Offer up thy son, thy only son Isaac. And of course, we know he did. So we have to be yielded to the Spirit of God and to God so that the prompts that he gives, we will obey. We will do them. We'll say yes. Regardless of whether it's comfortable or not, or it makes sense. Sometimes things don't make sense. You know how we are in our understanding, our logic, our thinking. We go, that doesn't make any sense. Do it, and it'll make sense. You'll see after a while. Turn to John, to John 7 and verse 17. John 7, 17. Just for a moment here. John 7 and 17. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. He shall know. But you got to be doing what? It says, if any man will do his will. The New American Standard says, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching. We have to be willing to do his will. You got to be willing. You know, when they ask for things, when here in the ministry, if they ask for something, I just do it. They need help. I didn't have to pray about that. They need help. So you jump in and you help. I know for years,
Even though I was working in media, I like to drive cars. I like to drive stick shift. That's just, I liked it. I raced cars. I did, and I like stick shift. So I enjoyed driving the truck here. I did. So I plowed snow. They need help. I didn't get paid to do that. I did it to help. And I did it for years to help. And I didn't get paid to do that. Work all night long to help. See? And so that's me, but I did that because it felt right to do. And they needed help. So a lot of times we want to be used in things, but we need to just yield. Yield. Just yield. They need help. Okay, I'm available. I'll help. And so that's when we can be used more and more. We're not talking about doing things in excess. We know people have responsibilities, but at least be yielded and open to say, I'll help. I'll help. Let me say this. If you want to be sensitive to his direction, you're going to have to be receptive to his correction. If you want to be sensitive to his direction, you're going to have to be receptive to also his correction. If you refuse the correction, you dull the direction. See, if you refuse the correction, you know how the little kids do like this. No, I ain't doing it. No. Well, then you dull the direction. See, we want his direction, but he may say, okay, here's the direction, you go over here. And we go, no, and there's some correction. When you don't receive the correction, you dull the direction. Does that make sense? How many are parents? You tell Johnny, go empty the trash, make your bed. And one thing is tied to another. I want to go out and play. Good. Make your room up. Clean this up. Do this. Wash the dishes. And when you're done, then you get this. See? One thing is tied to another. Some of those things, you know, think like we thought those things up. No, they're already in place. That wisdom came from God. Just give you this scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the Spirit. When we quench him, then we quench or stifle. I'll put it that way. Some of the modern translations say stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. When he's leading and he's prompting and he's nudging, or you have a knowing, you can do what? Smother. You can stifle that. And then when you do, you dull. You dull the direction. You dull your openness to God. I'm not doing that. So you're not even open to listen because you stifle it. You smother it. And I'd say sometimes we may do it, even in some cases, we may do it not knowing, because we're trying to process things mentally or emotionally, and it's really, it's a thought that came from the Holy Spirit. How do we know? It feels right. And we say that, it seemed right. Isn't that what it acts? We go through the book of Acts. It seemed right to do. So when a thought comes and you start to resist, does it feel right to do? Does it seem right to do? Then you know it's the Holy Ghost. But your mind might be saying something else. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy laws within my heart. John 8:29, I do always those things that please him. So our desire is to say yes, to yield and be open to the direction of the Lord. Hope that makes some sense. Hope that helps today. Because he wants us to say yes. He wants us to yield. He wants us to be more sensitive to even the slightest direction from him. And I believe that when we yield, see, if I override a knowing or a prompt, even the slightest, so I may develop to the place of just being sensitive to that. When I override that, I dull that. Most like I got to start back over again. Everything is not going to be a full, strong leading. There can be something that's very soft and gentle. And we need to be sensitive to his leading, his prompts. Amen. Let me just share this. This is where people live. Your situation may be different than somebody else, but every person has these thoughts. I wonder what I should do here. Wonder whether I should do this or this or this. We can know exactly what to do in every situation. Every situation. And it's going to take, how's the best way to say this? You have to develop your spirit similarly to like a muscle. You want to get in shape, what do? You go to the gym or you go outside, you work out, you exercise, and initially you become very aware of where your muscles start and where they end. Everything hurts. You become very aware of your muscles because you've been working them, exercising them. Well, how did we find out how you're going to exercise your spirit? Speaking, singing, giving thanks, praying in the Holy Ghost, saying yes, and what else? Making melody in your heart? Exactly. So you become more sensitive and aware of your spirit and the one who lives in you. Being filled with the Spirit and not consumed with all of the daily activities, but spending time, being conscious of your spirit man. And then you're on the road. You're going to start taking little steps, little steps, little steps, and they become bigger steps, bigger steps. Because your choice may get to the place where it's critical, your choice. But we need to start with the little things and keep working on those, and we'll get there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you for reminding us that we're spirit beings and we need to develop our spirit man to be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you. We decree that we are filled with the Spirit and we are a Spirit-led church and we are Spirit-led in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.